Living and Dying with Honor, Bible Study Lesson Number 68, September the 3rd, 2009. We're dealing with Problem 18, Orientation to Time. Problem 18, Orientation to Time. How do you pass the test of time? The war between the states, or civil war as it's called in the North, Major General George Britton McClellan built the Army of the Union. McClellan, in many ways, was the most outstanding officer in the Union Army, except for Grant. But an underrated man who did an interesting thing and played a key role in everything that led to the victory was General George Gordon Meade. Meade had actually been born on December 31st, 1815 in Cadiz, Spain. His father was a wealthy American merchant who was financially ruined by his adherence to the cause of Spain during the Napoleonic Wars. His father had very strongly supported the Spanish against Napoleon. And the entire episode can be studied in Meade of Gettysburg, the story of General Meade's life, by Freeman Cleaves, published in 1960. Well, his sisters and brothers married in the high stations, both in the North and in the South. Meade took an appointment to the United States Military Academy. After preparatory work at Mount Hope Institute in Baltimore, he entered the Military Academy West Point in 1931 and graduated 4 years later, ranked 19 in a class of 56 members. He had no desire to remain in the military, though he would make a career out of the military. After serving in Florida, in Watertown, Massachusetts Arsenal, he resigned in 1836 to pursue a civil engineering career. In 1842, he sought restoration of his commission in the Army and was appointed second lieutenant to the Corps of Topographical Engineers. From then until 1861, with an interlude of the Mexican War Service, Meade was continuously employed as a military engineer in the construction of lighthouses, breakwaters, and coastal and geodetic survey work. However, during the war with Mexico, he worked alongside of Robert E. Lee of the Engineering Corps. He was in Topographical Engineering Corps. He was president of Palo Alto and rescued in La Palma and Monterey. He came out of the war breveted with the brevet rank of first lieutenant. Lee, who received the brevet ranks of major, lieutenant, colonel, and colonel. Lee would have gotten a Congressional Medal of Honor under the modern system, or at least for some of the service he rendered there, many people believe, for the standard of the day, if such an award had been existed, as he crossed and recrossed this wild plateau area down there in the dead of night to coordinate between the troops that were there. But General Meade came out of there with honor and respectable reputation. So after the beginning of the war between the states on August 31st, 1861, Meade was promoted to captain of his corps on a permanent rank in the regular army, but was immediately appointed a brigadier general of volunteers. Andrew G. Curtin of Pennsylvania, who was the governor of Pennsylvania, was the one who pressed for this and Meade was given command of one of three Pennsylvania brigades then organized. After winter spent in work on the Washington defenses, he joined George B. McClellan on the peninsula in June and fought during the 7 days battle at Mechanicsville, Gainesville, and Glendale, where he was severely wounded in two places almost simultaneously. Partially recovered, he led his brigade in Everett McDowell's corps at 2nd Manassas. South Mountain in Sharpsburg, he commanded a division in Hooker's 1st Corps, succeeding John F. Reynolds, who had been ordered to Harrisburg to enlist and train men for defense against the threatened invasion of the state. At Fredericksburg, Reynolds commanded the I Corps and Meade's 3rd Division, Franklin's left ground division. A few days later, Meade was appointed to be commander of the 5th Corps, which he led at Chancellorsville. After this federal disaster, the administration decided not to risk another battle under Joe Hooker and replace Ambrose E. Burnside after Fredericksburg. McClellan McDowell, Burnside, Hooker to Meade. 5th Commander of the Army of the Potomac on June 28, 1863. Reynolds himself took himself out of competition for the command position, which in itself is a very interesting story, because most men seek always the very highest rank that they can obtain as military men. Meade took over the command of the Army June 28, 1863. Harris and Couch had been transferred out at his own request. John Sedgwick and Henry W. Slocum had agreed they would willingly serve under their junior. Meade found himself immediately faced with the army of Robert E. Lee. Lee was moving north across the Pennsylvania countryside. General Meade received a dispatch that had been captured from a courier that was signed by Jefferson Davis that stated that the Royal Guards coming to Richmond, Virginia, and the group he would have there was only a facade. They would only make a feint against Washington, D.C., that there would be no maneuvering or no plan to attack Washington, D.C., and Meade immediately knew that the captain was safe. The first general commanded the troops that Lincoln wasn't on their back to preserve the capital at all costs, hold back everything he could. McClellan could have done far more at Sharpsburg if Lincoln had not been in panic. Another general, Burnside's another course. And the Burnside and the Hooker should have ever been commander-in-chief of the Union Army. McClellan was qualified. Meade was qualified. Meade took advantage of the timing for what he did. In the city of Gettysburg campaign, the Army of the Potomac prevailed in his leadership, even on the first day Reynolds was killed in the first and 11th Corps were badly mauled and driven from the town to the heights beyond. July 2nd and 3rd, successive Confederate assaults on the right, left, and center with infliction of losses on attackers attacked alike. When it was over with, Meade would not claim victory because he knew he didn't have a victory. Nor would Lee claim victory or defeat. Lee believed that he accomplished much of what he did. He ended the Union campaign. There would be no major military campaign into Virginia in the summer of 1863. He had taken the war out of Virginia, fought the battle on foreign soil, and gave Virginia a little bit of hope of relief, the pressures that were upon it. Lee's army was compelled to retire toward the Potomac on July 5th. Floodwaters of the Potomac, which rose from rainstorms throughout this whole time, prevented from crossing the river until the 13th. General Meade came in a vicious attack, preventing them to escape. Criticism was heaped down upon the head of him, including a message from Henry W. Halleck, who was a pressure-pushing general desk general, incapable and qualified as far as I'm concerned for anything more than desk jobs. My study of military history. Halleck indicated to President Lincoln's dissatisfaction. Meade immediately offered to resign, but the administration beat a hasty retreat. He was appointed Brigadier General of the Regular Army July 7, 1863, to rank from July 3rd. He received the thanks of Congress by resolution the following January 28th. His victory at Gettysburg sealed the doom of the South, though it would take Grant to finish up the war. Congress passed a resolution to thank him January 20, 1864. Now, the follow-up did not bring any indecisive campaigns that were fought at Bristow Station, Mine Run, neither showered any particular fame or glory upon either the North or the South. And Grant was forwarded to Lieutenant General and brought east. For General Meade has to be recognized for understanding how to redeem the time. As soon as he found out that he did not have to worry about the defense of the capital, he rushed his men north and Lee without any cavalry to tell him where they were at, had no idea that they were there. And Meade made the most of what he had. Flying to take over the command of General by General Grant, Meade became his subordinate, though he nominally was still remained in command of the Army of the Potomac until the very end. He was promoted to Lieutenant General over him, to secure this. Meade, underneath Grant, fought the Army and commanded the troops at Wilderness, Spotsylvania, Cold Harbor, and the Longmont in front of Petersburg. He was not promoted to the grade of Major General of the U.S. Army until W.T. Sherman and Philip Sheridan. Sheridan had been his subordinate and had been appointed. Following the war at the close, he was assigned successfully to command of the departments and divisions of the East and the South, was in charge of the military district and Atlantic headquarters in Philadelphia when he died November 6, 1872. General Meade has never been given the credit for redeeming the time, which was the key factor at Gettysburg, and whipping his troops north and seizing the opportunities and claiming the ground that was necessary there in the bloody battles that the South fought up the hills instead of down the hills. I salute General Meade, the Union Army. We're dealing with orientation to time. Well, in case that military got you too far off, we better stop and pray for a second. Lord God and Father, we thank you for the privilege of teaching your word, for your word is absolute truth. We claim your promise, your word will not return void, but accomplish that which you designed it for. I wish you to sanctify it and bless in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, whose name we pray, saying, even so come, Lord Jesus. Amen. All right, in the last class, we saw the problem was the orientation of time. We took the Ecclesiastes 3:1-8. And looked at it in relationship to James 12:1-12. We gave you the solution, or began to give you the solution to the problem of time, dealing with and mastering time. The principle of the answer is daily the Father give us a fresh supply of mercies. Lamentations 3:21-26. Lamentations 3:21-26. Time is one of the things that takes people down more than anything in the world. I find the older I get, the harder it gets. The fact that neither Linda and I drive anymore at all. We do not drive. We have no. We're dependent upon other people. There are reasons why we don't. They do relate partly to our health problems. But we have to be dependent upon other people or upon the public transportation. And this consumes a lot of time that is consumed for it that way. When we have to cover a lot of the details and circumstances of ministry work because of lack of volunteers, again, there's time factors involved. Orientation to time, though. We have to learn, first of all, to recognize that the Father gives us a fresh supply of mercies every day. Verse 19 says, remember my afflictions and my wandering, the wormwood and the bitterness. Surely my soul remembers and is bowed down within me. You're faced with the tough things that come before you and the pressures of life upon you. This I recall to my mind, and in the midst of battling depression, you recall to mind. Therefore I hope the Lord's loving kindness indeed never ceases, for his compassions never fail. His compassions never fail or never cease. His loving kindness never ceases. His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I have hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him. To the person who seeks him, it is good that he waits solidly for the salvation of the Lord. All right, daily the Father gives us a fresh supply of mercies so that we can redeem the time. Ephesians 5:16 says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. He daily gives to us. Redeem the time that he daily gives to us. Psalm 118:24. This is the day which the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. James 4:13-17. James 4:13-17. Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we shall go to such and such a city and spend an year there and engage in business and make a profit, yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and also do this or that. But as it is that you boast in your arrogance, all such boasting is evil. Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. We can make our long-range plans for the future. Dr. Lewis Berry Chafer used to say, we live as if the rapture will occur today, but we plan as if it will not come for 1,000 years. All right? Well, the same could be true of our daily life. We have one day at a time. Matthew 6:34. Therefore, do not be anxious for tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. This saying has often been said to be like a proverb, because let each day's troubles be enough for that day. We must depend only upon him, on the Father. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust the Lord with all your heart and not lean on your own understandings. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. To know God personally, to be in fellowship with the Father and with the Son through the filling of the Spirit, allows us to move forward and do the things that we have to deal with in life. The Bible said, curses he that trusteth in man. And we've learned the issue of that. Look at Psalm chapter 90. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were born, or thou didst give birth to the earth, and the world from everlasting to everlasting. Thou art God. This is believed to be the oldest of all the Psalms written by Moses, the prayer of Moses, the man of God. Moses acknowledges the eternality of God in verses 1 and 2. Verses 3 to 6, we see the frailty of man. Verses 7 and 8, the sinfulness of man. Verses 9 to 12, the shortness of life. And Moses prays for God's grace on his people in verses 13 to 17. Verse 3, thou dost turn back into dust and dost say, return, O children of men. In contrast to God, who is eternal, in verses 1 and 2, man is frail and will return to dust according to the curse of Genesis 3:19. Psalm 90 gives us pointers on the best preparation for the responsibilities of being an adult. It teaches us to live each day to the full as it comes one day at a time. One by one day at a time, we take them. All of you who are young will one day be old unless you check out before 60. Generally speaking, the human body is designed for 70 years of age. We see this down in verse 10. Verse 4 says, for 1,000 years in thy sight, like yesterday when it passes by, or as a watch in the night. The longest span of any human life, Methuselah lived 969 years after the fall, is but one day to God, not even a complete day to God, who is no more bound by time and is a man who sleeps through the night watch. I swept them away like the flood. They fall asleep. In the morning they are like grass which sprouts anew. In the morning it flourishes, sprouts anew. Toward evening it fades and withers away. We have been consumed by thine anger and by thy wrath. We have been dismayed. Thou hast placed our iniquities before thee, our sacred sins, in the light of thy presence. For all the days have declined and they fury. We have finished our years like a sigh. The days of our life, they contain 70 years, or if due to strength, 80 years, yet their pride is but labor and sorrow. For soon it is gone, and we will fly away. Extension of life is a mixed blessing. You have longer life, but often it has a lower quality of life, much lower quality of life. Verse 11, it understands the power of thine anger and the fury, according to the fear, is due to thee. Who takes to heart the intensity of God and wrath against sin, and therefore gives him his due. Age 70 years of age is normal living. By observing certain health rules, you can add 10 years on the average to a body designed to last 70. That means 80 years. Yet the pride is wearisome labor of nothingness. Using labor, just existing, just living, becomes hard to keep going sometimes, just as empty life sitting around waiting to die. Verse 12 says, so teach us to number our days that we may present to thee a heart of wisdom. Help us to allot our days wisely. It is not the extension of your life that counts, it's how you use every day. Do return, O Lord, how long will it be, and be sorry for thy servant, O satisfy us in the morning with thy loving kindness, that we may sing with joy and be glad all our day. Make us glad according to the days thou hast afflicted us, the years we have seen evil. Thy work appear in thy servants, and the majesty of thy children, and let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and do confirm for us the work of thy hands. Yes, confirm the work of our hands. So we pass swiftly and we vanish away. Our time is limited upon this earth. Verse 11 represents the fact of who takes the heart of the intensity of God's wrath against sin and therefore gives him due reverence. Verse 12 tells us to allot our time correctly. Verse 10b, as we said, for soon it is gone and we fly away. We pass swiftly, we vanish away. The young person at age 16 has very little capacity for enjoying life as God intended it. True happiness, unless he has a lot of doctrine, can apply it, epinosis. One of the chief applications is learning how to wait. You have to learn to wait for your right man or your right woman, the marriage party you're going to have. You have to wait for the right situations in life to develop. You have to wait to have enough doctrine in your soul as you start slowly study and learn the Word of God, step by step, precept upon precept, line upon line. You go through basic Bible doctrine, you begin to get advanced doctrine, you begin to put it all together, begin to get the picture. You should erect the fortress of the soul, the edification complex of the soul, as we've taught you, to defend your soul from within. The fortress of Bible doctrine that you can apply. We point out to you, be not drunk with wine, where's excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Drinking of wine in excess is a part of too much social life. People have to learn to control their social life to build up their spiritual realm. Decision making among teenagers is important, usually decisions of ruin. But 21 or a few years older, he or she, if they're taken in Bible doctrine, can tell a jerk from a real man or a woman. Now they have the capacity for the right kind of social life. They have a concept of freedom and discernment. They have enough Bible doctrine carrying them along through difficult times. They have intense satisfaction in times of prosperity. The person can wait for their husband or wife. Teenagers get into a mad scramble. They can't handle themselves socially. They get involved in dope, promiscuity. Much of what goes on is caused by the fact that we treat teenagers entirely different than they have been treated in the past. I point out to you, to your shock, check it out. Andrew Jackson was in combat at 12, a prisoner, was a soldier at 12, a prisoner of war at 13 in the Revolutionary War militia, sword sliced to his face by a British soldier when he was 13 years old, captured and made a prisoner of war, he carried till his death. David Farragut was commissioned in the United States Navy as a midshipman at the age of 9, went to sea for the first time with his foster father, Captain David Porter, at the age of 12. William Wayne Loring, a professional soldier, born December the 4th, 1818, shortly after his parents took him from North Carolina to Florida. His diverse career put him at the age of 14 into combat against the Seminole Indians. He later studied law, was elected to the Florida legislature, commissioned in the return of the Army, this time the Regular Army, in 1846 as a captain of a newly established regiment of mounted rifles, won the brevets of Major and Lieutenant Colonel in Mexico, lost his arm at the Battle of Chapultepec. Promoted colonel of his regiment December the 30th, 1856. At the time of his resignation, May 13th, 1861, the youngest line colonel in the entire United States Army, the 20 counting the artillery colonels, Brigadier General of the Confederate States Army, the Major General. Messed up a little bit, made Jefferson Davis mad. Never was promoted to Lieutenant General, though he served in the position of a Lieutenant General several times. In 1869, he entered the service of the Khedive of Egypt, rose to the rank of General, the Pasha General. Was twice decorated in combat there. There's a memorial to him down at the at old Fort Vancouver, Washington, I'm told. But a teenage boy tromping through the swamps of the Florida Everglades, chasing Seminole Indians in combat. Duty and responsibility was pressed hard upon young people at one time in this country to grow up a teenager with all their play games and stuff. And I see adults today that play games. It's all they're interested in. They have no drive, no compunction to accomplish stuff. They move job to job. They live for TGIF. Thank God it's Friday, so they get the bars and drink. Many people that are born in the United States of America and were raised here are avoiding marriage, the younger people. They're avoiding responsibilities on every side. They lack maturity. Some of them are 30 and 40 years old, they lack maturity. parents need to encourage their children, train them up in the way that they should go, and they should try to keep teenagers out of the rat race and be able to communicate to them. Psalm 90, verse 11 is one of the key verses. Who understands the power of thine anger and thy fury according to the fear that is due thee? The easy way is to come study the Word of God. The hard way is to learn through the divine discipline that God brings upon people. Social life can ruin the average teenager before he's 18. If he marries the wrong one, he becomes totally disorientated. Many people have sold their birthright for a mess of social pottage, just as Esau sold his birthright to Jacob. Either you are going to know the fear of the Lord by developing spiritual maturity in the soul, correct the fortress of the soul, we call the edification complex, or you're going to know the wrath of God and divine discipline, and you're going to reap what you sow in the law of volitional responsibility by making poor decisions. The solution to the problems of a young person, eventually the old one, is found in verse 12 of Psalm 90. So teach us to number our days that we may present to thee a heart of wisdom. Help us to allot our days wisely. Cause us to learn, this is emphatic, to organize our days, organizing them for the purpose of inhaling the Word of God, making doctrine a primary thing in the soul, with the result that they may come to us. A heart of wisdom, the functioning of the grace apparatus for perception, edification, that is, by the divine system God has given for the Holy Spirit to teach you and I, and we can understand doctrine. Doesn't matter what our IQ is humanly, it's our spiritual IQ, which is equal for all believers at the moment of salvation, because God puts within us the ability to comprehend spiritual phenomena through the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. We study doctrine, we learn doctrine, we grow up. All right, God's plan for us is measured by days, not years, the doctrine of one day at a time. One, the believer who attains spiritual maturity regards every day alike, Romans 14, 5 and 6. One man regards one day above another, another regards every day alike. Let each man be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it from the Lord, and he who eats does this for the Lord, for he gives thanks to the Lord, and he eats not for the Lord. He does not eat and gives thanks to God. We have to develop spiritual maturity while we're young so that we can regard every day alike. The most important thing young people can do, or older people, either one, is make social life secondary to Bible study. Study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In the Greek, be studiously eager, be eager to get doctrine. Get doctrine every day. Getting into the primary source of life for spiritual growth. Proverbs 8:34. Blessed is the man who waits for me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at my doorpost. For he who finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. Daily, eagerly hunting for doctrine. Point 2. Every day is a gracious gift from the Father in phase 2. Christian way of life. And to purchase the benefits from it means to be filled with the Spirit, studying and taking in Bible doctrine, and developing spiritual maturity. Psalm 118:24, this day the Lord has made, rejoice and be glad into it, be glad in it, with Ephesians 5:15. 18. Therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not get drunk with wine for dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. 3. The only time we possess to glorify God in the Christian real life, phase 2. Phase 1 is salvation. Of course, phase 3 is eternity. G is the number of days in the divine plan for us. We've already read for you James 4:13-15. And again, Psalm 90 verse 12 makes the issue clear to us as to what we're to do. We must take the days that God gives us one day at a time. So teach us the number of our days. Principle, the Father's plan for you is measured in days, not years. Point 4, the Father provides the capital to make each day count for Him under the title of more grace. The Father provides the capital to make each day count for Him under the title of more grace, James 4:6. But He gives the greater grace. Therefore, it is said God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. But that was James 1:21. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all remains of wickedness in humanity, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. This allows you to develop a spiritual frame of reference. Point 5, every day is a special day in phase 2. The Christian way of life, and one day is not holier than another day, John 11:9-10. You don't sit around and wait for Sunday, the Sabbath day, to get spiritual. Every day is a day to walk with the Lord. John 11:9-10. You just said, are there not 12 hours a day? If anyone walks a day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks a night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. We need to have doctrine resident soul to guide us daily. Now, we are commanded to assemble on the first day of the week, as I understand doctrine, the resurrection day. Do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Put it with the passage in 1 Corinthians, and Paul speaks of coming and being there. And the logical concept is that Sunday is set aside as a major day of study of the Word of God, of worship, of concentration upon God. In principle, this does not mean that there is only one day that we are commanded to assemble in the local church. So look at Acts 5. Acts 2:42 says they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in the breaking of bread. That's the communion service, the Lord's table, and in prayer. We're doing all these things, but in Acts 5:42, we read some astonishing words that people do not like to hear. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they kept plain on teaching and preaching Jesus Christ every day. Evangelistic outreach went out every day. Bible teaching went out every day. Every day, the Word of God was being taught. Point 6. Each day in the Christian way of life, the believer is commanded to specifically avoid mental attitude sins that are the most subtle, the most powerful foe against the erecting of the edification complex of the soul, that is, of developing spiritual maturity in the soul. The ECS, of course, is a system in which you master certain things that we have covered for you, that you learn how to have grace orientation, grace initiation, capacity for love, inner happiness, spiritual peace, patience, grace initiation, grace response, faithful to the plan of God and the calling that you have been personally given in relationship to it, the use of your spiritual gift, etc. meekness, and self-control. These are the nine gates of the edification complex of the soul that allow you to master the details of circumstances of life, to have a relaxed mental attitude, and meet and pass the test of life. We're to avoid mental attitude sins. Proverbs 27:1. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. 1 John 2:9-11. The one who says he is the light and yet is in the light yet hates his brother is in the darkness until now. The one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But the one who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. No believer will ever be able to organize his days, nor an unbeliever either one, as far as that goes, as long as the mental attitude sins run rampant in his mind. Of course, the problem is the unbeliever can't get rid of mental attitude sin because he's not saved. When you spend time in pride, bitterness, guilt reactions, and so on, you hinder your spiritual growth. Point 7. Only in the days of the Christian life in the material world can the Father demonstrate his love for the believer in suffering and pressure. Psalm 102:1-3. Father's love, the Father's grace, mercy, and peace cannot be demonstrated to us in suffering and pressure in the world to come. It has to be done in the world that we live in today. Psalm 102:1-3. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let me cry for help. Come to thee. Do not hide thy face from me in the day of my distress. Incline thine ear to me in the day when I call, and answer me quickly. My days have been consumed in smoke, and my bones have been scorched like the earth. Psalmist here prays to the Father in his distress. He doesn't know about the Father as specifically. He knows about God generally, and finds his confidence in the sovereign purpose of the Father. Down in verses 12-22, and the unchangeableness of the Father in verses 23-28. It is here that we learn to deal with the grace of God. There is no suffering in phase 3, Revelation 21:4. Eternity future, beyond the grave for us, there will be no suffering. That's what we call phase 1 is salvation. Phase 2 is the Christian life in the material world. Phase 3 is our life in the eternal state. Revelation 21:4 said, he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall no longer be any death. There shall no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. The Father's provisions for strength and suffering is greater than adversities. We use God's provision daily. We must learn to daily study the Word of God, develop spiritual maturity in our soul through doctrine residency, function the use of the faith rest life, living by faith in the Father and in His Word. The future, it is the Lord's hands. Our problems, our joys, everything is in the hands of God the Father, and He has given them unto the Son as our head. We're in Christos, in Christ. The believer that's in military service needs to live one day at a time. The believer out of military service needs to live one day at a time. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, for which cause we faint not. The context, this means the edification complex of the soul, the spiritual material being. But through our outward man perish. Yea, the inward man is renewed day by day. We study the Bible, the Word of God. We understand it. We take it into the mind. The noose is transferred by the power of the Holy Spirit and His unique ministry that He does into the human spirit. From there back into our soul where it is stored. The human spirit guarantees the purification of the doctrine that we're learning. Well, that's important to be filled with the Spirit when we do it. This is the faith transfer system. We believe doctrine. The Spirit makes it real to us. We've taught this before. This renewing of our mind, post-salvation epistemological rehabilitation, be renewed in the mind, is to be done in the faith of the Holy Spirit. And that depends upon the proper usage of confession of sin. Confession of sin is needed for restoration to fellowship. Fellowship is the issue in communion, according to all of 1 Corinthians 11. All right, now we come to the principles that relate to utilization of time. Utilization of time. If you're going to master time, you've got to learn how to utilize time. The principle of planned time, back to James 4, 13 to 17. James 4, 13 to 17. We're commanded to redeem the time because the days are evil in Ephesians. All right, in James 4, 13 to 17, we read, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we shall go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. If you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow, you're just a vapor that appears for a little while and vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and also do this. All right. Principle of planned time from James 4, 13 to 17. A, today or tomorrow, the selfish believer consigns his time to temporal things, material life things only, without any view of eternal values. B, such a city means he selects his own geographical location, ignoring the geographical will of the Father. He goes where he thinks the business is best, not where the Lord wants him to be in business or serve him. C, continues there for a year. It means that he limits his stay, the use of man's independent volition, to the exclusion of God's will. It is not how long the Lord wants me to stay, but how long I want to remain. How long can I make money here? You see, he sets limitations himself without regard for the Father's plan. To buy and to sell means he plans his own activities. He is going to buy and sell. No thoughts in life as to representing the Lord and serving him. Get gain. He plans for profits and materialistic ways to get gain. Everything is related to how much he can make. Running his business to the exclusion of the Father's plan is a habit of his life. All right, two principles of redeemed time, Ephesians 5, 16 to 18, which we already looked at. So I'm actually the principle of redeeming the time because the days are evil. A, the doctrine of the filling of the Holy Spirit. Verse 18, be not drunk with wine, but ye filled with the Spirit. The doctrine of the filling of the Holy Spirit tells us how to redeem our time. B, we can redeem time only when we are controlled by the indwelling Holy Spirit. Until he fills us, we cannot redeem our time. It's impossible. Three, principles of utilizing time. Look at 1 Corinthians 7, 29 to 31. 1 Corinthians 7, 29 to 31. This I say, brethren, the time has been shortened, so that from now on those who have wives should be as though they had none, and those who weep as though they did not weep, and those who rejoice as though they did not rejoice, and those who buy as though they did not possess, and those who use the world as though they did not make full use of it, for the form of the world is passing away. All right, some point A. Time is short. Time keeps on getting shorter. Principle it takes time to make a marriage run smoothly. It takes time to train up and raise children. All right, sub-principle, beware that legitimate living does not hinder redemption of time. Beware that legitimate living does not hinder redemption of time. All right, one, none of this. 3 areas of legitimate living. One is sorrow, loss of love. One's adverse circumstances, pain, illness. Don't let it get to the point of becoming morbid. Don't let it overtake you and destroy you. How much pain and suffering can someone take? It becomes a very interesting concept in life. One of the unique men in American history, totally unknown to most people, is Francis Redding Tolu Nichols, who was born in Donaldsville, Louisiana, August 20, 1834. Graduated from the United States Military Academy at West Point in 1855. Resigned as commissioned in 1856 to study law at what was in the University of Louisiana, now Tulane University. Was now Louisiana State University at that time, was a military college. He practiced law at Napoleonville at the beginning of the war. He entered the Confederate Army as a captain of the Phoenix Guard, but was soon elected Lieutenant Colonel of the 8th Louisiana. With this regiment, he fought at 1st Manassas and in Jackson Valley Campaign and was wounded and taken prisoner at Winchester. As a result of this wound and a lack of medical care, he lost his left arm. He also lost an eye in the Battle of Winchester. At Chancellorsville, his left foot was torn off by a shell. In later battle, he commanded one of the Louisiana Brigades, having been promoted Brigadier General October 14, 1862. Sorry, the latter battle, which was Chancellorsville. He commanded Brigades as Brigadier General. A man with that one eye, one arm, and one leg was considered unfit for front of field duty, but General Nichols reported for duty to President Davis and was placed in command of the post in Lynchburg, Virginia, for a time, and then was placed in charge of volunteer and conscript bureaus of the Trans-Mississippi Department until the termination of hostilities in 1865. In 1876, his friends nominated, quote, this was the official nomination read, all that is left of General Nichols for Democratic governor of Louisiana. When told he had lost the election to the Republican opposition, he refused to accept defeat at the hands of them and was ultimately recognized by the federal authorities who occupy Louisiana after a period of time of dual administration in that state as the rightful governor. Finishing his term, he entered semi-retirement for 8 years after expiration of his first term and was again elected governor in 1888 and served until 1892. During this time, he aided in suppressing the notorious Louisiana lottery. From there until a year before his death on his plantation near Thibodeau, General Nichols served first as Associate Justice and Chief Justice of Louisiana Supreme Court. He retired in 1911 in poor health and died January the 4th, 1912. All right, by October of 1800, and 1863, of which he would live 73, 83, 93, 03, 13 would be 40, 39, 38 years. 38 years he lived with one arm, one eye, and one leg. Part of another leg, but no foot. And went on to serve as a governor, Supreme Court Supreme Court Justice and Chief Justice of Louisiana State Supreme Court. He kept going. He did not let these things get him down. All right, secondly is happiness. What makes you happy? We should have inner happiness all the time because inner happiness is a fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. Galatians 5:22. But the pursuit of happiness, the frantic and inveterate search for happiness that people go on can cut into the utilization of time. Three, the pursuit of pleasure is legitimate. However, 2 Timothy 3:4 said lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God.
those things that are relaxing to you personally apart from your workaday or professional activities, pleasing yourself, but you can become addicted to these things. I knew a man who got involved, who loved boats many years ago, so he built a boat. He didn't come to Bible class while he was building the boat. And he got the boat ready to sail. He took some other men out of Bible class to help him put together the crews to sail the boat and all. But I knew other people who were addicted to hunting. I know a man who can't miss a Seattle Seahawks football game. Has to be down there early. Can't be in church. People who collect guns, people who hunt, people who fish. Sports, whatever it is, all legitimate things, but you can become obsessed with these things. We must not misuse time. This is the important thing you must understand. We must not misuse time. And by that, we're not talking about, in the negative sense, we're not talking about worldliness and how people dress and things like that and where they go. Utilizing the world system, construction of the world is on a time basis. Listen to what I got to say there. 60 minutes makes 1 minute. 60 minutes makes 1 hour. 24 hours makes 1 day. 365 days make 1 year. 10 years make a decade. 10 decades make a century. 10 centuries make a millennium. We must not abuse time. The word fashion here in 1 Corinthians 7:31, and they that use the world is not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. The time system is the world system that we explained. Don't abuse it means do not misuse our time. Fashion here has nothing to do with some woman's fashions, what kind of clothes they wear, design. What is design is the world and time. Time flies, time passes away. As believers, how do we utilize our time to the full? We learn Bible doctrine. We live by the word. We learn to live by the perception application of Bible doctrine. We learn how to apply the word of God to experience the filling of the Holy Spirit, using confession of sin to get stay in fellowship. We learn how to make legitimate living a slave of Bible principles and applications. Doctrine over the details of sorrow, happiness, and pleasure. Respect the time that marches on. Time is short. We're in a crash program to pin down some areas of our life. We need to be holy to be set apart. 1 Corinthians 7:34 says, there's a difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit, but she is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. All right. Being holy there, being set apart, means a crash program on master the details of Bible doctrine so that we can master the details and circumstances of life. Verse 35, and this I speak for your own profit, not that I cast a snare upon you, but that which is come in that you may attend unto the Lord without distraction. It is developing the ability to study, not to get shortchanged. Develop the ability to view Bible study overall. Develop the ability to concentrate on doctrine. Develop self-discipline. The thesis of the last part of 1 Corinthians 7 is that a single person has more time for the Lord. Marriage is not a time waster, but it's a time consumer. The worst thing in this life is to be married to the wrong person. It's legitimate to take the wife out to eat, do things with the family, rear the children, and support the family. That's why young people who are wonderful believers before marriage do not get to Bible class regularly after marriage. They do not know how to utilize time. Passing the flower of the age there is 35 to 40, the man 25 or so, a woman.